Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 367, recorded on May 11th, 2019. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This episode is sponsored by Captera. Check them out, captera.com/tios. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from Smile. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing all right. I've been missing your voice, Michael.
Me too. I've been missing my voice. No, I've been missing your voice.
I mix those up.
Yeah. I regularly hear my voice. I don't often miss it. But Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, just enjoying that early June gloom up here.
Yeah, what's going on?
I don't know. California. Everybody likes to hear about the 2 weeks out of the year that we don't have sunshine, so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, if it's any consolation, Michael, it was rainy for like 2 or 3 days this week, and then it snowed for a day or two.
Oh, yeah. I love those, the false starts to spring in most other places in the country.
Yeah, but you know, today you could be outside in t-shirt and shorts if you really want.
Awesome. Well, if you want to stay inside, you can, or I guess you can go outside and listen to us. Go outside, go on a hike while you're listening to this.
Listening to podcasts while they're doing, you know, yard work or hiking,
yeah,
or biking or running or all these things.
I can't do it while running. I need like a beat to
you
run
need a beat.
To. But I can do pretty much anything else.
For all of our runners,
maybe it needs to be faster.
It's got to be 120 or more.
Yeah, we got to give them a rate pace.
Yeah,
oh, that was the warm up.
We'll get there. Okay, so we got a couple interesting things from Ming-Chi Kuo about the 2019 iPhones.
I thought he was leaving at some point.
Is he?
Yeah, he totally Theresa May'd on that, didn't he? Yeah.
I think he just went to do his own thing. Like, he was working for other people. And I think he's doing, isn't that right? He does his own thing now.
I think that's
what it is. I'm glad he's not gone. Let's just say that.
Yeah. But he's got a lot of good stuff. So, this one's, I guess, you know, r/ mildly interesting. The 2019 iPhones and new iPad Pro models, are going to be adopting a new antenna technology, I guess. So I wanted to...
Temporarily. It's actually an old antenna technology, right?
Yeah. So...
Oh my God, I'm so looking forward to grabbing the end of that antenna and pulling it up out of the phone.
I know, right?
Good times.
So they're switching... So right now they use this liquid crystal polymer technology, which is the new tech, right? But because of limits in the RF performance due to the production issues, they're going to be switching back to the modified PI material.
What does PI stand for? I tried to research this and could not find an answer.
Me too. It was all buried in research papers. And
I'm still stuck on Apple's turning iPhones into private investigators.
I mean, that's also useful.
PIs and... Yeah.
Slap a mustache on your antenna, and then you can have a Magnum PI antenna.
There you go.
I'll pay extra for that.
I need a mustache on my phone. And then I guess the other interesting thing is the rumor about future iPads using flexible circuit boards, which I think we heard about previously. But
that'd be perfect for all the people who feel the need to really try and bend their iPads and iPhones.
Foldable iPads, man.
Yeah, there's just that one guy. What's his name? The guy who always likes to scrape everything with an X-Acto knife on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, those hurt to watch.
I love that guy. He's hilarious.
Did you see the one where he scratched Thanos into the back of an iPad Mini?
I think so. And he likes to draw a lot of things into the back of into technology using a knife. How about, I know this isn't the Samsung show, but that was, we haven't talked in a bit. The Galaxy Fold, that was...
Did it really surprise anybody? I don't know. It didn't surprise me.
It kind of surprised me.
I didn't hold much hope for those things. I thought they were going to... It happened a lot quicker. That's all I'll say is, like, the failures happened way faster than I thought they would. But I was giving it, like, maybe they'll make it a year and then people will start being like, dude, this thing's breaking. Like, what the heck?
Yes. Well, I figured they'd get through, like, a whole quarter of sales.
Yeah.
And then... And then everyone's phone would just start breaking. But they didn't even make it through the first 24 hours of reviewers having these.
How? How is that possible? How is that possible? How is their QA so bad?
The film thing is really dumb. Like, I don't know how they didn't avoid that. Like, especially if you're giving them to reviewers, you have your PR company call them and say, look, there's a thing on here. Do not remove it. I guess they had like some warnings in the box.
No, they had, but not in all of the boxes.
Yeah, not in the initial.
It was a total screw up.
Yep.
Okay. To be clear, though, I think these foldable devices are definitely like going to be the way of the future.
Oh yeah, yeah. Of course.
I don't think that the tech is stupid or.
No,
I think that is where
it's just not there yet.
It's just not ready. Yeah, this is not ready for prime time. They just try to push it out too soon.
Yeah,
and too quickly.
I love the idea of being able to, you have the portable device, but when you want a little extra room, you open it up and you get the extra room.
No company we know of has ever done anything dumb like that.
No,
put something out too early before it's ready. No.
No, I can't think of anyone.
I actually can't think of what you're referring to.
Apple has done this before. Maybe not to this scale, but I mean, they've rushed things out where it's like, maybe you could have thought this through a little bit more.
Like Siri still?
Maps, maybe? I don't know.
Maps is a good idea. That's a good one.
Like, that's a good example. I mean, but even things like just having technology way before its time, like the Newton.
Oh, yeah.
Is an awesome example. Like, it had really cool tech in it, but it really wasn't ready for consumer consumption. And yeah, granted, that's, in the dark days of Apple, but it still is a thing that, and look what has come out of it, though. Like, the reason we have a lot of the stuff that we have now, I think, is due in large parts to Apple doing the stuff they did with the Newton and pushing that technology forward. So I don't fault any company for trying to push technology forward. It was a mistake. Like, they should have seen this coming, Samsung. So that's just the weird thing. It's like they had to have known that this was more fragile. And again, I still think, like, even if this didn't happen, I think the devices would have probably started breaking, a year out or something like that. Even though they do lab testing, I think it's been shown time and time again, antenna gate, it doesn't matter how much lab testing you're doing. Humans have a way of like destroying stuff.
It's in our nature.
It's like everything you do in the lab, cause you're in all these perfect conditions. And then you just don't understand how people are going to actually be.
You'd think
day to day, like
think
you're trying Samsung to infer, but you really don't know.
You'd think and Samsung would know how to test these
environments. And especially, like, they know this technology doesn't work in the heat and the cold, too. Like, or heat? Is it heat that has a real problem? So, like, what's going on when you've got people with these things out in the desert and extreme conditions and stuff like that? Like,
or they leave it in their car in the summer.
Their hot car, yeah.
Yeah.
Under the seat, whatever. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to, is it the Huawei, the Mate X?
Yeah, but it's going to have the same problems. I really think, like, this technology, we've only been hearing about for a couple years, and it's going to take 5 years or so for it to really be mainstream. So, they priced it that way, too. It's an early adopter thing. Yeah, it's for the people who want to take a risk, who want to be, like, have the newest gadgety stuff, but they also recognize that they're basically public beta testers.
Yeah.
And you're paying a premium for the privilege.
But I'm still excited about the Huawei Mate X. You can't take away my excitement.
No. But I mean, so, look at the difference between like a Tesla Model 3 and the very original Tesla Roadster, right?
Yeah, totally. I'm in agreement with you.
Which would you rather have?
I agree. I'm not going to get that phone. I just like the tech. Like, I liked the Roadster. Cool, it's an early adopter thing for sure.
And it needed to be out there. It needed to be out there. Yes. It needed to happen for the other thing to happen.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, Huawei and Samsung need to push this technology out there so that it does become mainstream and cool stuff gets done with it and people figure out how to use it and how to make it work. And I mean, in large ways, that's what the iPhone was all about, too, right? It was like looking at the market and going, smartphones are really lame. Like, let's make a really good one. But they made a lot of mistakes, like not having apps up front, like all this stuff, right? So anything early adoption is going to be tough. So yeah. I feel bad. I feel bad for them. I think it went probably as bad as it could have been. Like, on
it was
the
as
scale,
bad as it
like,
could have been. And also, it was as good as it could have been.
Right.
Because the technology just isn't there.
Yeah.
You know, the Mate 10, Mate X, whatever they're calling it, I like the whole concept, but you can't put a case on that phone.
Right. Yeah.
So never drop that.
Is these screens are very fragile and you can't, you know, there's no way to put cases on them.
Who needs a case though? Cases.
Well, you do when you have a technology on the outer shell of your device that is super sensitive and super breakable.
Mm-hmm.
Cases are lame.
Yes, I agree. But again, this is going to be another problem. That Huawei is going to come out. People are going to start dropping. I guarantee you, you're going to hear people, I dropped it 3 feet and it totally broke.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. We don't want to talk about this.
I'll predict it right now.
Let's talk. Okay. So Mark Gurman from Bloomberg, he dumped a lot of stuff on us earlier this week about his predictions for WWDC. A lot of software stuff.
Of course.
Let's dive in. According to people familiar with plans, so let's start with watchOS 6.
Okay.
I guess the biggest thing for that is he believes that the Apple Watch is going to get a dedicated app store on the watch itself.
Why?
You know, to make it more more useful independently.
How many third party apps do you guys have on your Apple Watches that you use?
I have
on
several.
A daily basis?
I have several. Like
you do?
Like
I have.
Let me think.
I have two that I actually use.
I use CalcBot. I use
on your watch.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed.
But they're gonna.
That's cool.
But they're gonna Sherlock CalcBot. That's one of his predictions, actually. One of the things they're bringing is, let's see, yeah, a calculator, voice memos, and a books app. I don't think you're meant to like actually read.
Books app?
I don't think you're meant to read.
Why would I want the books app on my
I think
watch.
It's for audiobooks. I'm pretty
I
sure
guess it
audiobooks.
Could be cool if it would have like, because like in books you can like highlight things and take notes, right?
I'm pretty sure Adam is
so maybe
for
like notes with page references that you could call up and be like, oh yeah,
that's insane. It's for audiobooks. I promise you, it's for
audiobooks. Makes sense to me.
No, audiobooks. Yeah. We don't have audiobook support on Apple Watch right now.
I think they're probably just adding the book app so they can have additional like playback support.
I forgot
support.
That audiobooks got moved to.
Playback support,
the books app,
but I mean, with the standard, the now playing, little widget,
controller.
Yeah, I think it works pretty well. So I don't know that that's going to be a huge thing.
I just don't see. I guess I don't understand the need for a app store on the watch. It seems weird, but okay.
Okay. Here's where it would make sense, but I don't think this is what's happening. If Apple was going to remove the need to always pair to an iPhone for an Apple Watch.
Sure. Yeah, you're right. That's probably exactly what it's for, because with the cellular now. So it's getting to be a completely autonomous device, which starts to bring up really interesting things, too, because you could have a person that their only Apple product that they own is an Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. So if that's the case, then you need to have a separate app store for Apple Watch.
Yep. I can totally see people.
That's why they're doing it.
People who just own Apple Watch. I could definitely see there are a lot of people who would get an Apple Watch, but who just have an Android phone.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think the future for a lot of people, even with their phone, is a Apple Watch and a set of AirPods.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Right? You don't even need to carry your phone. You just have AirPods and an Apple Watch.
That would be pretty cool. I can't see me doing that, at least not for a long time.
But they don't have a manual dialer on the Apple Watch yet, do they?
I think they do.
I know you can do it from like contacts, right? I think you can initiate a phone call. Can you initiate? I don't even know. Because I don't have a cellular Apple Watch. I would assume you could initiate a phone call from just the watch.
Oh, yeah. There's the keypad.
There's a girl in class the other day who accidentally called the police, called emergency services on her watch. She was like, I don't know what's it. Like, it starts making the boop, boop.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know what's happening. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, and yeah, just the thing about that damn, emergency services thing is it's glitchy.
Well,
especially probably older watches, it just gets kind of stuck in that mode where you have pressed the button, but you're no longer pressing it, and it just keeps counting down. And it's like, what do you do about that?
You say cancel during the countdown. I think there's a button on the screen.
I don't think there is. I'm pretty sure. Let me see.
No, you can cancel it.
I guess you can press the cancel button.
Yes, that's what you do.
Like you said.
But if you don't realize it's been triggered.
Yeah.
And I know several people
that have actually realized that it's triggered
because it starts going really loud and annoying whoop, whoop, as it's doing the 3-second countdown.
Yeah, but if you're in a loud environment, you may miss it. I know people that didn't realize that their Apple Watch was calling emergency services until it had already called. Uh-huh. And in some cases, they were in environments where it was loud enough they didn't hear. And then in other situations, the beeping started and they're like, holy crap, what is that?
Yeah. Right.
And they couldn't figure out what was alerting them. And the next thing you know, they're talking to a police dispatcher.
And the biggest problem is like I've had stuff activate. Never, knock on wood, never the emergency thing, but I mean, the digital crown gets pushed down by something like your sleeve, or you're pushing against something and you don't realize it. I've had that happen a few times. And I think that's how it mostly accidentally happens, right? Is you twist, or you've got your hand in your pocket and the button's caught on the edge of your pocket and it's just being pushed in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mostly for the longest time, I kept ending up with screenshots.
Yeah, that was a classic one.
I have a bunch of random screenshots.
Yeah, until they changed it so that was off by default instead of on.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, as we were talking, I've been looking through the apps that I have on my phone. 1Password I use, or on my watch, I should say. 1Password, I occasionally will play a tiny game of Pong.
tiny is definitely accurate.
I have the MLB app, which
do you actually launch the apps, or do you just use like features? I guess those are actually apps. And see, in my case, I have Fantastical and Spark, but they're really just the widgets. Like, or the complications.
Yeah. No, okay, so I definitely will launch 1Password for sure.
Oh, Carrot Weather.
Yeah, I don't use that.
Yeah.
CalcBot, like I said, I use that. Deliveries, I very rarely will use. And yeah, pretty much anything
else. It's just
else
not a really viable platform for apps. I think it's proven out.
I don't know, for whatever reason, all the apps I ever use on my watch are so damn slow. It's just not worth using.
Correct.
So why I still don't understand why to this day the Apple apps work fine, but the third party apps are just ass.
I don't know either.
It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, we have a zillion other things to talk about in this list. So in watchOS 6, he's also thinking there's going to be dose and cycles apps for pill reminders and menstrual cycle tracking, Animoji and Memoji sticker support. Let's see, new watch faces, including one with a custom gradient design and at least two extra large versions with very large font.
Why?
New complications.
Let's talk about watch faces for a second.
Why aren't there third party ones yet?
Yeah, why isn't there a watch face kit that third party developers
can know. Make? I'm kind of irritated with the options. The only watch face that really works for me is the standard utility.
Yeah. Okay. So I just need to throw that out there. I think it's crazy that they haven't. I mean, I get that they want to probably control and make sure complications are supported in the right way and stuff like that. But it feels like they by this time they could have developed a kit, you know, a watch face kit for watch developers, because I think it'd be really cool. Like, you know, for again, this would be another way to maybe promote third party apps. Is you could take your third party app and build a watch face that sort of integrates some of the features and functionality.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't done that.
It would make more sense. You know, maybe you want a calcbot watch face that's like a calculator watch from the 80s, and you just always have that available.
Oh heck yeah! That's probably the only. Yeah, you could have a weather focused app, focused face too. I can see that. Yeah, that'd be dope.
Just like you have a Siri, Apple did a Siri focused face. Why not? I mean, certain people like certain things. Or like, there's all those running apps that people like to use. I'm sure there's people who would love Track My Run face or whatever the popular running apps are. Strava. So
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just use the built-in running app.
Yeah, there are people out in the world that do a lot of running that would use an Apple Watch as their primary running thing, except that they can't get an interface on it like you have on, say, a Garmin GPS running watch.
Those Garmin watches are very, very good and very specifically built for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you have a Garmin app with a Garmin watch face for the Apple Watch or something like that?
Yeah, makes sense.
You'd sell more Apple Watches.
They're also looking to add new complications for audiobooks, battery life of hearing aids, and more.
Cool.
For iOS 13, a dark mode. Finally, woo. Dark mode's coming. I don't care about dark mode.
I used to be so excited about dark mode, and then I saw how Apple implemented it, and I don't use dark mode.
Okay,
it'll be good for battery life. I mean, that's the thing. Like,
I guess on OLED phones, true.
Mm-hmm.
And you can toggle it in the control center. What don't you like about the way Apple implemented dark mode?
It feels very haphazard. And if you look at Apple's own apps, Mail, for example, it feels like half the app is dark mode and half the app isn't.
Hmm.
And there are enough third-party apps that I use, or at least I was using at the time where I gave up on dark mode, that didn't support dark mode. Where I didn't feel like I really had dark mode. What I realized is if Apple had given me the option to do a thing where all I'm doing is changing all of my menu bar stuff to dark mode, I would have done that and been happy because everything else is just kind of a mess.
Mm.
And then also I ran into a problem where some developers who created their own dark mode support were doing it with colors in their app where there wasn't enough contrast, or it was just straight white text on straight up black background, which is really hard on your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
So I gave up.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people like it. I'm still not on Mojave, so I haven't.
I'm not a huge fan. But I mean, that's fine. I appreciate people who like it and understand people who like it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny for me too, being a developer, because my development environments are all like dark mode.
Yeah, that's true. Most of apps are dark mode.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm okay with it that way.
Okay.
I'm complicated.
I think it's because I'm old school. I'm so used to how a Mac interface looks, and I don't like it when it looks different than I think it should be. I think is what it is most jarring to me.
Yeah.
It's like, I like the stoplights. I don't even do it. You know how you can do the gray thing? Like, yeah. I keep the stoplights.
I like the stoplights, yeah.
Yeah, in color.
I'm with you.
Very traditionalist, I guess, is when it comes to my Mac interface.
I feel that. What else do we have? A new system-wide sleep mode that can be toggled in Control Center to turn on the Do Not Disturb, darken the lock screen, mute all notifications. So I guess it's supposed to be tied into the improvements in the bedtime tab in the clocks app. The bedtime thing for me, I mean, right now my schedule's funky, but I want a different wake up time, different days, and I don't think the bedtime thing supports that.
I don't use that feature. I think my daughter does.
I like
it. Might have like weekdays and weekends.
I don't think it does have that. Well, I think you can. Well,
that shows you how much we all use that feature.
Well, okay, so you can say days of the week that you want it, but you can't have more than one.
Okay, that's right. What I was thinking.
Oh, I take it back. I do use the bedtime thing. That's the thing where it just puts it into Do Not Disturb, right?
Oh, yeah, that's different. I'm talking about the bedtime tab in the alarm.
Oh, in the alarm. Yeah, I've never used that.
Yeah. Now, if you have alarms set on your phone, like a wake-up alarm, can you snooze and stop them from your watch if you have the bedside interface? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. Funny thing for me is when I use my phone as my alarm clock, but my Apple Watch is right there in the charger with it. I always have to pick up my phone because I'm not wearing my glasses, and my vision is so bad that I can't read what's on the watch.
Interesting.
So it may very well have buttons that I could just tap and snooze, but I'd have no idea because I can't see it.
So... I'll have to play with it because I prefer the alarm sound on the watch. It's much less jarring. So I actually am one of those people who I have no alarms on my phone. They're all on my watch, which I think is rare. But it doesn't have the bedtime thing. And I like the bedtime thing because it automatically sets two alarms. It gives you an alarm for when it's time for bed, which is based on how much sleep you want to get, which is cool. So you can rotate it and just say, I want 8 hours, and you can rotate it back and forth and say, well, if I want 8 hours and if I go to bed at this time, yada, yada, yada,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. So I would like to see more of those features on the Apple Watch. That'd be cool. Let's keep moving. Revamped Maps app. Will make it easier to set frequent locations like home or work addresses and then navigate there, as well as improved grouping of frequent locations with the ability to add photos, which is nice. I'd like to see how that actually is going to be implemented, but I think it'll be better than whatever we have right now, because what we have right now is kind of wonky. There will be a revamped reminders app with 4 default sections laid out in a grid, tasks to be done today, all tasks, scheduled tasks, and flag tasks. That it sounds like they're really trying to up the game with reminders. And I don't know that that's gonna, I mean, I think it'll be good for a lot of people. But the way that I use reminders is because I use reminders and I use like OmniFocus, and OmniFocus is for like big things, and I use reminders for like a grocery list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even use reminders at all. It's OmniFocus or I forgot what grocery app I'm using.
How do you do a single action things like clean the cat box?
Things like that, which I know are going to be routine.
Yeah,
I set them up as a single task, repeating.
In OmniFocus.
In OmniFocus.
In mm-hmm. in what, your inbox or something, or?
Yeah. Well, I have a whole category just for personal stuff in OmniFocus. Yeah.
Or single actions.
So I can assign it to that.
That's bonkers, but okay.
Why is that bonkers?
I don't know. It just seems crazy.
That's how I did
to
it
me.
Too.
It seems crazy to me. I don't know. I just don't like the idea of having changed the cat box in OmniFocus just because it seems. I don't know. It just seems too extreme. OmniFocus is like a nuclear missile.
Well, at the same time, to me, it seems really weird that you're using two different task tracking apps.
If you're really into GTD, I think it's supposed to all be in one place.
I don't think I'm into GTD. I want to be into GTD, but I'm also into Agile, and I don't know how. I think Agile and GTD can be separate entities. I mean, they are separate entities, but
they're separate entities. And
GTD is personal stuff.
It's too easy with GTD to get caught up in the let me get all my stuff organized
in the process.
And actually do it. Yeah, and it's all about the process and not actually accomplishing anything.
Yeah, I used to have a task in my you know how you're supposed to have like the weekly perspective thing. Where you like take stock mm-hmm. of what you have in your list, and one of those is like, you know, so it's like dump your brain of what you need to do today, and then the next step is realize that what you've just done has accomplished nothing,
and then you check that one off too.
Yeah, it's great. Well, there was so remember, you probably don't remember, back in. God, I don't know, maybe 2013 or something like that. There was an OmniFocus update for April Fools where whenever you checked something off, confetti would pop out.
Oh my God. How did I not know that? I was an OmniFocus user.
I'm positive.
I probably knew it, just forgot.
I'm positive you were an OmniFocus user at that point, but I was so excited. Like, you know, someone I knew from the company was like, hey, you know, check out the update today. And I did it. I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. This is how the app is going to be from now on. Right. And they're like, oh no, it's just for today. I'm like, that's terrible. I stuck with that update for, you know, months until it didn't make any sense. Cause I just loved the confetti coming out of things.
So. Sure. That's awesome.
That needs to be a feature. Come on, Ken Case. That's the most important feature. We got a lot more to talk about with iOS 13, and we're going to touch on some macOS related technology, as well as leaks and stuff like that. But first, we have to talk about our sponsor, and we'll do that in just a second. Our sponsor this week is Captera. We all have that friend who's the first one to try things. Whether they're super trendy or more of a guinea pig, when you're making choices, it's always nice to hear it from someone who's been there, done that. Choosing the right software for your business is no different. Read thousands of real software reviews to help you choose the right software for your business on Captera.com/Tyos. Captera is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. With over 850,000 reviews of products from real software users, discover everything you need to make an informed decision. Search more than 700 specific categories of software, everything from project management to email marketing to yoga studio management software. No matter what kind of software your business needs, Captera makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. I'm really happy these guys are sponsoring Tyos because I know how hard it is to find that perfect piece of software to fit your needs. Software I've talked about in the past, like OmniFocus, Sublime Text, and Confluence, were all discovered by word of mouth, but Captera can help you find what you need faster than ever before. Visit Captera.com/Tyos for free today to find the tools to make an informed decision for your business. Captera.com/Tyos. Captera, that's Captera.com/Tyos. We thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. Okay, so we're back. We talked about baseball in the break also, but I guess the listeners don't know about that.
Well, they do now.
Axe Bats. Check them out.
No, it's not a body spray. Can you imagine, though?
There's a
spray for little bats.
There's a mashup coming.
Oh yeah,
I'm telling you.
You know there is.
Go into a cave and it's like, why does this smell like teenage despair? Oh, it's Axe for Bats.
Oh my god. Revamped books app with updated progress trackers, as well as a new reward system. I don't think that's going to get people to read books.
Does that shoot confetti out when you get to the end of a chapter?
I sure hope so. I'd read more books.
If it doesn't, they need to just go right back to the drawing board.
I just feel like I don't have the time to sit down and just look at a book.
Do you have time to watch Game of Thrones?
I don't watch that.
Oh. Do you have time to
watch baseball?
Any TV?
I do have time to watch baseball.
Then you have time to read a book. You're just making choices.
Okay. Fair.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. God. But the what I was getting at is
I didn't call your choices wrong.
No, I know. I guess the conclusion of that is so I listen to audiobooks.
There you go.
And then I can drive and watch
not
baseball.
The same as reading though. Sorry.
Yeah, I'd argue that that is correct. It's close.
It is. You get the content, but it's not the experience.
Not in the same meditative sort of manner.
Correct. Yeah. That's the only difference.
Yeah. Okay. So revamped.
You get that other ways, and some people don't. As a dad who has a kid who is an avid reader and loves it, like that's just their jam. That's how they relax. I'm not that way at all. I like movies and TV. That's how I decompress. So
nice. Let's see. Revamped health app with an improved view of daily activity, which is good. We need that. A lot of people are leaning a lot on the activity tracking these days, and it needs to be updated. More comprehensive menstrual tracking, we talked about that, and more. Revamped mail app with the ability to mute individual threads, block incoming email from certain contexts, and a simpler folder management. The folder management thing needs to be figured out because it's crazy.
It's been a hot mess since day one.
Yeah, literally. The entire time it's been terrible. Not terrible, just insane. Let's see. New default swipe based keyboard option, similar to SwiftKey, although Gurman believes that may be kept for just internal purposes. I kind of tend to believe that they won't put that out.
I know that seems like such a niche thing. Like, I know people who are into the swipe-based keyboards are really into them, and I get it, but they never stuck for me. Like, I've tried them. I tried a few different ones, and it was never like, it's just like, no, I'm just going to do it this way.
Yeah. More and more, I think I'm just like an old man when it comes to typing. Because I try to lean a lot on the predictive text.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm doing it, I'm like, I could probably type this faster if I just.
I actually like the quick type keyboard quite a bit. I use it quite a bit, and it's pretty quick. I mean, it's pretty handy.
It is handy, but you got to hit that like perfect happy medium where you're typing enough and hitting. You're trading back and forth between typing,
right?
And
I know what you're saying.
It's a fine edge.
I often wonder the same thing. Like, could I have just typed this faster?
Right. Well, yeah, because sometimes you're like trying to get it started in what you want.
It's like
to
a
do.
Movement thing. It's also just a movement thing, right? It's like you're stretching up to hit that thing, and it's like, well, I probably could have just hit those four other keys in the same time.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
You have a max?
Or use the autocomplete or whatever.
Yeah.
I have a what?
A 10 max or whatever. You have a big phone?
No. I just have an iPhone 10 S. Okay. S.
Let's see here. New feature that will let users use their iPad as an external display for their Mac. Now that I am very excited about.
I am cautiously optimistic about that because I've played with several different third-party tools that let you use your iPad as an external display. And most of them are marginally useful. The only one that I like at all, and and will use on a somewhat regular basis is the
Luma.
The little Luna display where you plug the dongle into your laptop and it uses the built-in, your laptop's built-in video card.
Yeah.
So that's working really well. But
that seems good. My biggest concern, so I use Duet Display, and I think they might have made a connection when talking about that to Duet. So you can do a wireless or a wired. The wired is cheaper. You pay a little more for the wireless option. But my issue with Duet, and really any external, but it makes more sense here, is that it uses the discrete graphics.
Yeah, and that's why I like the Luna display, because totally, it uses the full-on video card.
No, that's what I'm saying. This enables discrete graphics.
It does. Oh, I'm sorry. I misheard what you said.
Yeah, so it turns on the high-powered graphics card, which nukes your battery. So normally I get like 10, 11 hours of battery life if I'm just screwing around on a browser. But if I engage that, I get like 4.
See, for me, when I'm using that, it's in a setting like I'm traveling. So I'm working in a hotel room, and I'll use my iPad as a second display in the hotel room.
So you already have power hooked up?
And I already have power hooked up, so I never even thought about the power drain side of it.
Yeah, I usually do it like in a classroom setting. I would imagine. So yeah, for me, it's a similar sort of setting. It's just
how many classes are you in that are longer than 4 hours?
I have a design lab.
Oh, okay.
But I also don't want to kill my battery.
I know. I get it. Sure. It just got me thinking, like, I get that it sucks that you only get 4 hours, but what class are you in that's that long?
Yeah, 6 hours. Sad. Very sad. Anyway, so that sounds cool. I don't know how Apple's going to implement that, but that's going to have support for Apple Pencil notifications.
Wait, and also, more. Just, sorry, they don't, your design lab, they don't give you access to power?
I have access to power. I just don't want to... Okay. Come on, man. I just don't want to fully install myself into a Borg cube every time I sit down.
Okay, cool.
You want the ability to be very quick and nimble when you decide you're out, man. Right?
Like, options.
You're just here to call me out, I know.
I'm just here to be the dad today, yeah. That's you fine. Have choices, Michael. You're making choices.
Make the good choices. a combined Find My iPhone and Find My Friends app and possibly Tile-like tag for tracking devices. This is something that 9 to 5 Mac is also producing. Oh, yeah,
we've talked about that in the past, right?
Yeah, I think when they call it Green Lantern is their code name, something like that.
Really?
I'm assuming the final shipping version is just going to be called Finder.
I think maybe they have another product called that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I know.
I thought they had a shipping name for it already. It was just like, might just be like Tag.
Maybe.
That would make sense because that will be so easy to search for support.
Uh-huh.
Apple's all about that. You can't check all the boxes for everything, Jeff.
Well, I think
it's really fun when you need to find support for mail or books.
Yeah, one of the check boxes Apple has is how do we name this in a way that is so vague that you can never reasonably search for support?
God, I know. It's so bad. I mean, it makes sense for like any other context, but when it's like... I need to know how to do something in numbers. It's like, how? Numbers.
Right.
Numbers. How do numbers? I don't know.
1990s TV show starring.
Yeah.
Wow. I forgot about that.
Let's see here.
It might have been 2000s. I'm probably too early. I don't remember when that show was out.
User interface tweaks, including a new animation when launching the multitasking pane and closing apps, and tweaks to the home screen on the iPad. I don't think he talked about file management improvements with the iPad. Yeah,
I'd rather have file management improvements over a new animation.
Yes.
Just saying.
I'm with you. iPad is getting some unique features, including an updated interface for multitasking. Did I just say that? No, it's the same idea. Multitasking to the home screen. Yeah, I think that's a huge thing right there. I just showed my girlfriend how to pull up multitasking apps, and she's like, "Oh, that's incredible! I want to use this all the time." I just never knew that you could do that. That you have to like go to the home screen, grab an icon, and then open another icon.
Because that's so intuitive.
It's so weird, but I mean, once you know it's there, you can do it. It's, I don't know. You could argue either way. You could say that it's a very Apple Pro-like feature where it doesn't get in your way if you're not a pro, but if you you want to use those features, it's like, oh, okay. Well, you can just do this, and then I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ability to cycle through different versions of the same app. That's interesting. I don't know what that means. A more comprehensive accessibility menu on the main page of the settings app with improved hearing aid support and more. And performance and bug fixes. In macOS 10.15, it's getting ridiculous. The 10.15 thing. Like, can we just call it macOS 15 or something like that? It just seems weird now, right?
It has been weird for a very long time.
I mean, it's really weird now. It's just
weird is the new normal for Apple's numbering,
I guess. The marzipan stuff. So of course, iPhone and iPad apps can be easily ported to the Mac with the new SDK that simplifies the cross-platform development process.
Ugh.
What do you mean? Ugh. I think this is a good thing. It brings the APIs into line, right? It's not that it's just like, oh, no. You think it's bad? Have you used this?
Trot Smith has been doing
one word, 2x.
What?
Remember how great it was when the iPad got apps really easy? You could just port your iPhone app.
And all of a sudden, every
Adam, this is not the same thing. This is not the same thing, Adam.
It is. It's exactly the same thing. There's a great article that over on Icon Factory, Craig Hockenberry wrote about the dilemma of this. It's great in the one respect that it's going to be easy to port these things. The problem is that you're going to have too many iOS developers who are coming from an iOS world with iOS thinking, and they're just going to flip the switch and just like ship garbage, and they're not going to think through all of the things like, oh yeah, there's a keyboard and there's a mouse and there's like all these different interactions that are not accounted for. It's going to be bad. Yep. At first it will be bad. At first it will get better, and I'm still excited about it, but I guarantee you that first experience for the first year or two is going to be just like 2x iPad apps, where it's like, what the frick is this? This is lame.
I am concerned about that transition period. I mean, I do have hope for what we'll be getting once that dust settles, and seeing some of the things that Steve Trotton Smith has been doing with iOS apps, Marzipaned, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. But it also drives home the point that you can't just flip a switch.
Right.
That's part of it, but then you have to think half the way there. Through. Yeah.
And that's my problem, is you're going to have developers shipping an app that's basically 50% done.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And the other thing he brought up, which I think in that article, which is even more important, is the concern of developers and sustainability of your company, because he does bring up, and we don't know if Apple's going to do this or not, but I wouldn't put it past them, that Apple tries to create a universal app ecosystem where developers are only sell one app across Mac, iPad, and iPhone. And this was already a problem with the universal apps for iPad and iPhone, which means you get one price for everything one time.
So are you saying that the issue there is it's going to jack up the price because they have develop
for multiple? Well, no, that's exact opposite. Is you're going to have Apple mandating, oh, we want you to make universal apps and your app is now available across all platforms. Oh, and by the way, we want you to sell it for your iOS price.
Well, yeah, that would be an issue.
Why would I pay more for the Mac app if it's just a ported iOS app, Michael? That's dumb.
Well, if it's just a ported iOS app, then I'm not going to pay for it.
Is the problem, though, right?
Yeah,
it's another nail in the coffin of the developer ecosystem. It's like, this isn't worth it to do all... Because, again, they're going to say, oh, you just flip a switch. But it's not you just flip a switch. You have to create... There's still work that needs to be done, and a lot of work to maintain experiences on all different devices. And you're either going to take the time and effort to do that or you're not.
I agree with
you. And if you do take the time and effort, then you need to be compensated for it, but it's going to get harder to be compensated for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing that, I mean, one easy thing they could do is make it so you buy on a platform, iOS, and you get an upgrade price to add on the Mac app.
And what world does that exist?
I mean, it doesn't exist either way right now. I'm saying that they could solve that issue when they do bring on this universal app store.
Just like they solved, you know, upgrade pricing on iOS too, right?
With subscriptions, right. I know. It sucks.
So if they're doing a universal app store, why would they then add in a separate Apple Watch app store?
Jeff, don't ask these smart questions.
Sorry.
You're not allowed to ask such questions.
I didn't mean to think that one through. My bad.
Yeah, bad. Marzipanify? So, is that what you're talking about, Jeff?
Yeah, we're talking about Marzipan.
No, Marzipanify.
Marzipanify, yep.
Is that... Stephen Trodden Smith's
His thing. Like he got the guys at Twitterific to let him mess with their thing and Marzipanify it.
And what does it do exactly?
What it does is it compiles as a macOS native app, and he's done it with quite a few apps, and it's interesting because many of these apps, when he marzipanifies them, they're functional. I mean, they clearly need some refining, but they're right. Totally functional.
Yep.
Mm.
And again, that's the cool thing. It's like, this is a step to get a developer a large chunk of the way to having their app be a Mac app. The concern, again, and if you read the thing at Icon Factory, the concern is you do have a bunch of developers who grew up in an iOS world and aren't even really familiar with the Mac world, and they're going to be bringing their apps over, and they're not going to be thinking about very important pieces that are different about being a desktop app versus being a mobile app.
Yeah, it'll be a learning process for sure.
Boy, howdy.
Let's see here. So we talked about Marzipan ad nauseum now. Apple Music, podcasts, and a merged Find My iPhone and Find My Friends app we're expecting. So there's been a lot of talk about this Apple Music app that we're expecting to see. Whether it is a Marzipan app or if it's just iTunes, if it's Coco, right?
The latest that I've been seeing is that the new iTunes Music app thing will not come out of Marzipan. It's going to be based on the current macOS iTunes code base.
Well, the iTunes code base is a web app.
Right.
I mean,
but the parts of it that are Mac specific,
right?
That part of the code will stay Mac specific. They're not going to turn to the code that they've developed for iOS.
and why wouldn't they? I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't do
They're
that.
Not eating their own dog food. Is that what your concern is?
They've already done that though. I mean, that's the Home app and the Stocks app and
they got to keep eating their dog food. Apps, why? Right? Why is it suddenly that marzipan falls down when you want to do the huge task of Apple Music? /iTunes.
I don't even think it'd be that big. Like, big chunks of the music app are just web based.
I'm just saying. You see, like, what I'm saying, right?
JavaScript and HTML or whatever.
Okay, but I like the idea of I love the idea of bringing podcasts. Find my iPhone. Find my friends. Also, screen time.
Yes.
Thank goodness, I need that. And then finally, I will see what kind of true garbage human I am, because I can get away from screen time on my Mac, but I will no longer be able to hide my terrible deeds of watching too much baseball or looking at Reddit for 5 hours.
You're really into cat memes, aren't you?
I mean, that's private.
I know, but to be fair, who isn't?
True.
You should.
I did actually spend about 20 minutes watching a compilation of cats being scared of cucumbers last night. So,
oh yeah, that's funny.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yes.
iMessage stickers and effects, as well as Siri shortcuts integration. So, a lot of good stuff from iOS coming to macOS, and I'm very pleased about that.
So, is the merged Find My app just going to be called Find?
See, that's why I'm still thinking it's Finder, because we already have Finder. So why not call it Finder?
Because Loker?
I mean, we've had iBooks already.
But now it's books.
This would be the first time Apple would have done something like that.
Please be called Where's My Shit?
I would use the crap out of that app, if that's what it was called. I would find stuff just because that's what the app is called.
Supposedly it will have support for those new tag things they're talking about too, right? So it's just like, Find My Crap.
Yeah, well, we have a show name at the very least.
You know, if Apple does the tags thing, I mean, clearly that sounds to me like they want some of Tile's market.
Yeah.
So it will be very interesting to see how they price these tags, because they would have to come in under the cost of Tile. Or they have to have some really interesting feature to go along with them that would convince me to get rid of my Tile tags.
Tile has the, like, it's moved out of range feature, right?
Yes.
I've walked away
from... And now you can replace the batteries also in the newer models.
Oh, nice. About darn time.
Yeah. And you can hit the button on the Tile and have it make your phone beep.
Oh, cool.
So it's sort of like a Find My iPhone button right on the Tile.
That's nice. Remember when Amazon had those buttons that you could buy?
Still can.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just never found a button that I wanted. But there are things I want buttons
for. They're more fun for hacking them.
Yeah? You can have different button actions?
Yeah, you can hack them so that they do other things, like tie them in with your Arduinos or your Raspberry Pis. And
what if I just want to order something else
for all kinds of other stuff? Again, I think there's all kinds of APIs and things. There's a whole community for hacking Amazon buttons.
Wow.
Yeah. The stuff that I wanted Amazon buttons for, they didn't make it. So I have I'm doing air quotes, the virtual buttons, where it's a graphic of a button in the Amazon interface.
No, they stopped. Right. They stopped selling the stick-on buttons, apparently.
Because people probably were buying them and hacking them.
Yeah.
Not like they had a whole bunch of security behind them, you know.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we have here? Oh, latest renders. We got some renders of the iPhone XR from OnLeaks of the 2019 XR coming out. with the dual lens camera set up arranged vertically, where the tri-lens will be exclusive to the 10S or, you know, whatever that's called. We're not really sure what those
are. The 11.
The 11, yeah. So we're expecting to see a wide angle on the 10R, which is nice. So you can do the zooming, which, hey, that's, you know, that's a good feature for the lower cost iPhone. I appreciate that. And we're expecting to see 12 megapixel front facing cameras on all of the 2019 iPhones, up from 7. We're still expecting to see an LCD screen in the 10R, despite some rumors of the OLED, OLED coming to the 10R. I would love to see OLED. I assume that would mean that 3D Touch would return. However, we'll see the same notch size, but we'll get improved Face ID via the new flood illuminator in all 2019 iPhones, which I believe we've talked about in the past.
Woohoo.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to cope with the new potato chips stuck to the back of the phones.
I got called out because I'd been calling it the Ritz cracker bump because I think it looks like a cracker.
Yeah, it is a cracker.
And then somebody pointed out to me the fact that a Ritz cracker is round, but I had only really been using Ritz cracker bump because there's also a photography company called Ritz Camera, and I thought it was funny that it was like camera bump.
That is funny.
Cracker, oh. Ritz.
So like should it all we call together. It should we call it the Triscuit bump?
I think it's
the Triscuit bump or the Saltine bump.
It's,
yeah,
it's the Triscuit for sure. Yeah, and there we're already seeing cases coming being produced for this arrangement. So it seems likely that we'll see that.
The most interesting thing is supposedly it's not going to have like a frame. Like there's rumors that it's not going to be a separate piece, that it's going to be the glass is going to be like molded up.
Oh yeah.
Into that shape.
Yeah, that's right.
So it'll just kind of transition up into the bump rather than like we have now with the metal frame around.
That seems interesting.
Assembly.
I don't know how they're going to make that, but that's pretty impressive. I hope that doesn't.
Well, we already have curved glass. I mean, the glass on the edge of the phone is curved, so mm-hmm. it wouldn't be much more extreme than that. I don't think it'd be the opposite transition. It would be a more right. of a concave, the opposite direction. But I think the bend is likely this similar.
It seems like a great opportunity for stress concentrations, but
well, that would be the concern, right? Is like, is it going to be? I mean, the nice thing about having the metal frame, right, is if that gets dinged, you have some protection. Whereas here,
you get to shatter the entirety of the back of your
price,
phone.
You know, the cost of replacing that back glass, possibly.
Holy cow! Yeah. Questionable rumor says that iOS 13 is going to drop support for 5S, iPhone 6, 6 Plus, and iPhone SE. So this is according to French blog iPhonesoft.fr. We've heard this rumor before, but it's questionable for several reasons. Namely, the fact that the SE uses the A9 processor, which is the same as the 6S and the fifth generation iPad, which are not supposedly being excluded.
Yeah, I'm calling fakety fake on this one.
All right, we haven't gotten a fakety fake from you in a while.
Yeah, well, we don't record regularly, so.
Oh yeah, but, I forgot about that.
You know, considering the show is canceled.
That's true. It's still canceled. Don't worry. But yeah, yeah, I don't know. It would really be a bummer, big old bummer, if the iPhone SE was no longer supported. I also I'm not entirely sure how long I'm going to keep using my iPhone 7, because the damn thing I've dropped it hundreds of times at this point, and it just still keeps working. There's no problem with it. There's no real damage on it. It's just a it's a real good phone. I mean, the battery life is kind of getting not great. I guess I should have taken advantage of the thingy last year.
Why didn't you do the cheapo battery deal?
I don't know. I just didn't. I thought I was kind of waiting for the. It told me that I had 89%. Now it says I have 88%. What I really need a battery replacement on is my watch. This thing will not get me through a day.
Which model do you have?
I have a Series 1.
Well, maybe it's time for you to look on Craig's.
Excuse me. You can get a new battery put in it.
From Apple?
Can't you?
Yeah, you can. It's pretty darn expensive.
Yeah, if you're going to get a battery replacement, just get a new watch.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's like $150.
Oof.
I'm pretty sure it's about that, right, Jeff?
Yeah, it's surprisingly expensive.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah. Oh, here's another one from Bloomberg. Just kind of updates on rumors we've been thinking about. The all three iPhones will look similar to the current variations, current versions, beyond additional cameras, blah, blah, blah. The next iPhone XS and XS Max will be about 0.5 millimeter thicker. The third camera on the XS and XS Max will be an ultra wide angle lens that enables a broader range of zoom. And then the second rear camera on the XR will enable increased zoom as well. All three will be powered by the A13 chip. All three iPhones will have a feature that lets users charge the latest AirPods and other devices by placing them on the back of the device. I think that's a great feature.
Yep, that's cool.
Yeah.
For the record, Apple Watch battery replacement is $80.
$80? Okay. Oh, 80. I mean, okay. That still seemed...
That's a lot lower than I thought it was.
It's... I don't know, man. So, but the problem is it's like I have a Series 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready to upgrade.
You're due for an upgrade.
I'm due for an upgrade. Absolutely.
Yeah. But...
when do we think we're getting new...
That upgraded watch is going to cost you, what, $300?
Oh, yeah. At least, yeah.
So...
yeah, I have to do more research. Like, how much is it going to, how much am I going to get with this watch versus one that has a new fresh battery in it? Am I going to get $80 more? Am I going to get my money back? I don't think I will.
You mean functionally for how you use it?
No, if I try to sell it on eBay.
Oh.
I don't think I'm going to get an additional $80.
No,
we're going to check that out for you right now.
All right, go for it. And this is weird. Apple's looking at a feature, an auto-correction feature, to fit people back into a photo who may have been accidentally cut out. I don't really know what to make of that, but that's what they say. So with that, let's move on to our device picks. And I'll go to Adam first, since Jeff is doing research for me.
You want to go to me?
Yeah.
So actually, I think there's a new feature, I might be wrong, but I think I had heard a rumor that there's a new feature actually coming to the iPad that Apple's going to have easier or better support for fonts and like adding additional fonts and things to the iPad. Because right now it's kind of a challenge, but my pick actually is related to that because somebody had emailed me a while back and asked about additional fonts on iOS devices. And I think some people don't even know that you can like install or use additional fonts. So like OpenType fonts or TrueType fonts.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Basically the way it works is they get installed as profiles, but you have to create the profile files. And so you need a tool or something to be able to do that. So there is an app called AnyFont that I found. I believe it's free, and then they have an in-app purchase where for like $1.99, if I'm remembering right, you can unlock font bundles. There's like 110 fonts or something that are already bundled with the app that you can download. But if you just want it to install like your own fonts, then you can use this app to do it. And basically what you do is you just have to get the font onto your device. So I think the easiest way is to use like Dropbox or whatever it might be, get a TrueType font on the thing. And then what you do is you use the share menu and send it to any font, and then it will generate the bundle file for you and install it onto your device. And then you just go into settings, general, into the bundles, and then turn it on, and you can install any fonts you want. Now, to use them, you have to have an app that works with fonts, but you know, any almost any document-based app like Keynote or Pages Word or those sorts of things will then have access to those additional fonts. So that's how you do it. And it's a nice little handy app, pretty easy to use. And like I said, if you want to make the payment, you can get a whole bunch of bundled fonts that are already there in those. So with those, you just find the font you want, you tap it, and it'll install the profile file for you. To remove the fonts, you just remove the profile, and that gets rid of the font.
So I'm guessing you can't, well, the device that you're looking at these things on has to have the font installed,
correct,
right? So you can't send someone a cool message, an iMessage, correct, for example.
No, you cannot.
It's really
for using your own font. So the typical use case scenario is you're working on a paper in Pages, or you're working on a presentation and you want to run that presentation from your iPad or something like that, and you want to use a cool custom font.
Right.
This would let you do that.
Right.
Or if you want to go between your Mac and sometimes too, you'll have something you're working on your Mac and it has certain fonts and you don't have those fonts on your iOS device. And maybe you want to take that over and you want to work on it on your iOS device. You obviously don't want it to break when you move that file over. Again, most common scenario would be like a Pages document that you know, you have some font on your Mac that you really like and you're using that font, but it's not on your iOS device. So
yeah,
this would be a tool to allow you to do that and may become obsolete, like I said, in the next version of iOS, because the rumor is Apple's going to add a better way for managing fonts, which is, I can't believe we don't actually have one thus far.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like
it's surprising and at the same time, not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I feel that.
This is a handy little app and it lets you do it. There's a bunch of them out there. I found this one. I just really liked it. It was simple and it worked. So
yeah. Cool.
Any font.
So Jeff, do you have news for me on the Apple Watch thing, or do you just want to go into the pick?
I'll give you the news and then I'll give you my pick.
All right.
And I'll cut to the chase and then I'll explain. I don't think you should put a new battery in your Apple Watch.
Okay. That makes sense.
So what I'm finding on eBay, it depends on if it's 38 millimeter, 42 millimeter, you know, stainless steel or sport, you know. So taking into account all the variations, the pricing, just generally speaking, you're looking at between like $80 and $120 on eBay for an Apple Watch Series 1.
Wow. All right. Cool. And
yes, you can find it a little bit higher. You can find it a little bit lower, but that's kind of like your ballpark range.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me, right around $100.
Yeah. Yeah. So I say don't put new battery in your Apple Watch.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense. And my pick is from Wyze, and that's WYZE. This is the company that makes the really nice yet surprisingly inexpensive webcams for like home security and stuff.
Yep.
I do have one of their cameras. It's the Wyze Pan Cam or Cam Pan, whatever they call it. It sits on a base and you can rotate it around. And anyhow, so that was like a $30 camera, $35 camera.
Is all.
And my pick, though,
that's cool,
is a new accessory that they just released. Well, they did a pre-release, and I got that. And it's now officially available. And it's called the Wyze Sense. And for $20, you get a motion sensor, and you get two contact sensors. And then this little module that plugs into the back of your Wyze camera that handles the wireless connection to those devices. And since they're all into IFT support, you can do all kinds of triggers and alerts and stuff with these sensors, because you could just hook them up through IFT to do pretty much anything. But for $20...
Yeah. Well,
$19, whatever. It's really nice. And the build quality on all the elements is really nice. The setup was crazy simple. You just take the little USB module that plugs in the back of your camera, plug it in. Once it switches from flashing colors to just solid blue for its little connectivity light, then you're ready to hook up your other sensors that it came with. And they just show up in the Wyze app, just like your cameras do. And so it's a pretty cool little kit, and it's surprisingly inexpensive, just like their other products. And I've been playing with one for several weeks and have been very pleased with it.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
And I'm sure it has full HomeKit support.
Now, see, here's the problem. If you're into HomeKit, Wyze doesn't have direct HomeKit support. Now, if you're doing HomeKit...
No, I was only joking. At that price point, it never will.
Oh, my God. Why? Is it because of licensing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And part of the thing with Wyze is that they want to keep the price for their products really low.
Great. Yeah, no, it's cool stuff. I know a lot of people have the Wyze cameras, and they really love them. My only problem is, again, I'm kind of all in on HomeKit, and I have been since the beginning. So I see these things that I just am envious, because I'm like, oh, they're never going to have HomeKit support. So,
well, Adam, all you do is just have a Raspberry Pi.
I do. Yeah. I actually need to look and see if HomeBridge has support for.
I'm sure
I do
it
have
does.
A HomeBridge.
I'm oh, sure it
I,
does.
I have built a Raspberry Pi HomeBridge before.
No, I know I have a HomeBridge. Okay. The question is there Wyze modules for HomeBridge?
There have to be, because the Wyze community is just so over the top devoted to the product.
Yeah, I just don't know if HomeBridge does cameras or not. I can't remember.
I think it can.
What do you mean, does it do cameras?
I think it's all about, did someone write the module?
Right.
And that's it.
Looks like there might be one. This one says there is one for the Zynomi Defang and Wyze cameras.
Yeah, so, I see that one.
Okay. So, well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, when I used the...
because the Zynomi camera and the Wyze cameras are exactly the same.
They're not exactly the same, but they're close enough. The Zynomi, they have a different firmware.
Oh, I just spent they're showing pictures of them on this page, and they look identical. So,
oh, they do look identical. The hardware is identical. There's a different firmware, and I think there's a couple different chips inside.
Sure.
But they're close enough to the same thing that for most people, they might as well be the same thing.
Cool. Yeah, I might have to play around with this. Maybe I'll get one. It's probably worth getting one just to mess with.
Oh, sure. I recommend you get the pan cam and not just the regular one.
Uh-huh.
Because for $30 or $35, why not have the camera that has the full rotation built in?
Sure. Sweet. Yeah, that's crazy. And if not, I can always fall back on Alexa.
Hmm. Yes.
Is that a joke?
No. It has Alexa support.
Does Alexa work well, though?
Alexa's fine. It's just, it's Amazon, and I don't trust them.
Oh, fair. All right.
So I don't use my Echo.
I still trust them more than Google, which is why my Google Home is on a Wemo switch, and I tell the Alexa to turn it on or off.
Yeah, so wait, the Wyze Sense is it the starter kit you get? You talking about that one?
Yeah, the Wyze Sense starter kit, $19.99.
Yeah, you can get the motion sensor or the context sensor kit. Starter kit seems like the way to go. So it's $20, yeah.
Yeah, just get the starter kit so you have the whole sensor pack.
Yeah.
But you do need to have a Wyze cam to go with it.
Yes.
And I'd recommend just spending what is it? Wyze Cam Pan
$36.66 on Amazon.
Do you use the motion detector, mm-hmm. Jeff?
1080p pan, tilt, and zoom.
I know with the SimpliSafe that I have. I was, you know, they say that it will accommodate animals in the house. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I was extremely worried about setting my alarm and leaving with a with a cat.
Well, and sadly, I don't have a cat anymore to test that with.
Oh, okay.
But what I did with the sensor was set it on a bookshelf that's that's like, I don't know, 4 feet high.
Mm-hmm. Adam, what about you have a dog?
Mm-hmm.
And you used SimpliSafe. Did you have any issues with it?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so that, thank you. Wisense, $20. My pick this week. So I was going to talk about Apple Podcasts, and I think I will. I'm going to stick to that. I don't think I've actually picked it, but Apple Podcasts is the podcast app that I actually use, and I feel like that's an unpopular opinion.
I use it.
Yes.
My podcast app. Yep. And I've tried a lot of them, and and still am a big Downcast fan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great app. I've also played around with Castro. I mean, there's a lot of great choices.
There really are. Yeah.
But I've just fallen back to the Apple podcast app.
Okay. Jeff, what about you?
Yeah, I get that. I have the Apple podcast app and Downcast on my iPhone, and I hadn't really thought about it till now. But I tend to use Apple's podcast app a lot more than Downcast.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I have to say the only thing I don't like about Apple's podcast app is when you're in the car or playing on some kind of other speaker that has playback controls, the forward and back buttons on your external thing don't click the skip forward and back controls that you have set up. It just jumps it to the beginning or the end of the podcast, which is insane. No other podcast does it that way.
What does it do with chapters?
I don't subscribe to podcasts with chapters. I don't know.
Because I mean, normally those jump chapters in a chaptered podcast instead of,
I'm not sure,
jumping to a whole new show. So I was just curious. Considering I do a chapterized podcast.
Well,
I'll have to test it out.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know. But otherwise, the Apple Podcasts app, man, it's very simple. I really like it. And I have, and it gives you enough granularity in your controls. So I listen to a lot of podcasts. I have a bunch of different types. There are the comedy podcasts that I like that are, you know, I'm on Oh Yeah Dude, long-term listener of that podcast. I'm on, you know, episode 663. They've been going for, you know, over a decade. And I like to listen to all of them. However, there are also news podcasts that I listen to that if I miss one, I just really don't care to keep up. And so you can set, you know, hey, only keep the last five in here. And if I don't get to it, then, you know, who cares? And the nice thing is, I mean, I really just listen to use the Listen Now screen. And it just, however you have it set up, whether it's play chronologically or reverse chronologically, you just click on the show you want to listen to and it picks up where you want. And it'll keep playing through that show until you're done. And that's typically how I listen to podcasts, is I pick a show that I want. I don't want a weird broadcast of, you know, all the shows in the same, you know, chronological order. That's kind of weird to me. Mm-hmm. And it accommodates.
They can do that too.
Yeah. Don't you go into, you have to go into library and hit, episodes or
it's called stations or whatever. You can set up
stations,
different ones. Yeah.
Really? Where do you do that?
Where is that? I covered it on my show. You can set up like basically your own little like stations.
Oh, in library you do edit and hit new station.
Yep. And then you can create that with, you can select, hey, I want these podcasts. So it's really cool if you have like a bunch of technology podcasts and you just want to exactly do what you just described, where it's like, I just want the latest episode of each in order. And I want you to go from one to the next, like a radio station.
Interesting. I'll have to
So it's like mixing the feeds, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't listen to it that way either. I just do episodes and, you know, I pick the ones that I want to listen to. So
I'll have to consider that. That might help me not get through some, have a backlog of some podcasts that I just haven't gone through. I listened to, for what it's worth, I listened to We Martians, which is cool. It's a podcast about Mars exploration.
Cool.
It's pretty cool.
Cool.
He gets a lot of good guests on there. And I also listened to Miko, or Main Engine Cutoff, which is just kind of a general space news podcast, in addition to a whole bunch of other random stuff. But yeah, so Apple Podcasts is what I listen to. It's what I like. It's free, and you know, it integrates with your iPad. It plays well on the Apple Watch, and I guess it's coming to the Mac soon, which I don't know if I'm going to really end up using that, because, you know, for me, podcasts is audio, and I don't feel I very rarely, if ever, listen to podcasts on my iPad, for that matter. But yeah, that's it. So my pick. You can find all those in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes. Tell a friend. Leave some stars. Send feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Our sponsor this week, of course, is Captera. Captera.com/Tios. Check them out. Let's see. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media. Backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the MattCast at MattCast.com. And at MattCast on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always fun.
I always appreciate you guys carving out the time in your day. I know you got family on the weekend and all that kind of stuff, and I always appreciate it. Jeff Gamet, he's at Smile Software and at jgamet on Twitter. And I will eventually remove his old email address from from my mail account so that I can get him the show notes.
It's okay. I understand. Change is hard.
You were there for a while.
You just have to do it one step at a time.
But now you're doing cool stuff with Smile. Is there anything anything going on with Smile that we should know about? Any cool stuff you want to bring up?
I'm doing a lot of conference hopping this summer.
Ooh.
Yep. I'll be at the ACES conference in a few weeks, so that'll be fun.
Where's that?
That is, I think it's in St. Louis this year.
Okay.
Nice.
And then if you know people that are Chrome users that have been really wishing that they could use Text Expander, there's now a public beta. It's a Chrome plugin.
Nice. So,
wait, could you not? Are you talking on your Mac or on an iPhone?
This would be like someone that's using a Chromebook or Linux.
Oh. Okay.
So they could just pop this plugin into Chrome on their Chromebook or on their Linux device, and now they can use Text Expander there too.
You know, we should talk about you and I offline PDF pen, because I do a lot of PDF stuff, and I have a lot of things to say about editing and doing things with PDFs. So maybe I should get into some beta stuff with you.
I can hook you up with the right people to make that happen.
Okay. But yeah, are you coming to Los Angeles at all this summer? Any conferences out here? Or you just come out and visit?
I can just come out.
Do they do Mac Tech?
Come see me and Adam.
I was at Mac Tech in Denver. And depending on the scheduling with everything else that's going on, I may be able to make it to some more of the Mac Tech events.
Okay.
I know there's a couple conferences in San Diego that people have been talking about, saying, you know, maybe this would be a good one to go to.
Yes. So yeah, force me to visit San Diego. I still have never been. So
yeah. Well, if I end up coming
come
out
down and do a
Diego,
live iOS show,
that'd be fun. All right. Anyway, thank you for being here, Jeff. I appreciate it as always.
It's always a blast.
It is. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. And an internet. Internet. This one.
So what are we gonna do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're gonna use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck. No.